want to thank both the co-panelists here for accommodating the need to move the arguments to this afternoon, because it was at my request, and they very quickly responded that they would be flexible. So I want to thank both judges Bryson and Hughes. We have four cases before the court today, and the first of which is docket number 19-2401, Zarco Hotels versus Hollywood Casinos, LLC. It is an appeal from the Trademark Trial and Appeal Board. And I understand that there is a request for a 3-minute rebuttal. Okay, can you pronounce your last name for me? Fatai? Okay, thank you. You may begin. And you can remove your mask while arguing.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Cameron Fatahi of Law Offices of Cameron Fatahi, here to represent Appellant Zarco Hotels Incorporated. This is an appeal from the TTAB decision, opposition proceeding, in which the opposer asserted two grounds for the opposition. One was likelihood of confusion. The other was attack on the ownership issue, saying that the application was void ab initio because it was filed by the incorrect owner. The board never reached a decision on the likelihood of confusion issue on Section 2D and only issued a decision on the ownership issue. When my friend counseled for Appley takes the podium, I expect that she will make arguments to the effect that I am here asking this court to weigh the evidence and to weigh credibility and make credibility determinations of my client below. That is not at all what I'm here to ask this court to do.
Well, I don't know that there were issues about credibility as much as there were simply undisputed facts. As I understand it, the property was owned by Zarco Hotels, Inc., right?
Correct, Your Honor.
Was it ever owned by the first management company?
We're talking about the physical hotel property. No, it was always owned by Zarco Hotels, Incorporated. And later on, when Chateau Celeste Inc., under its former name, which was Zarco Property Management Inc., was formed in 1998. That's when it was formed. The application at issue in this case was filed on March 30th, 2011.
In your view, when did Chateau Celeste obtain the ownership of the mark?
It was definitely sometime after its formation, and definitely before the first application, which matured into the 342 registration for the long form, was issued. That first application was filed in 2003.
So the mark was not owned by Chateau Celeste from the first moment that Chateau Celeste was formed, I take it?
That was not specifically discussed the exact moment when it was transferred, the ownership, at least in an implied manner, but most definitely by the time the long form application for Hollywood Hotel, the Hotel of Hollywood, was filed in 2003, the ownership had transferred to Chateau Celeste.
And what was the action that constituted the effective transfer of ownership of the mark, which had, I take it, previously been owned by Zarco Hotels?
It was an overall It happened in an implied manner. And it was over the course of conduct and expectations of the parties. Mr. Zarinam was the president and CEO of both corporations from the outset and to the present. And he testified in his trial testimony that he acted in his capacity on behalf of Chateau Celeste Inc. as its president and CEO controlling the nature of use of the mark.
Can I go back to my first question, which is there was a property management company in existence, right?
That was Chateau.
And they changed the name to Chateau Celeste.
It was Zarco Property Management Inc. that later on in 2009 changed its name to Chateau Celeste.
Okay, so you're saying that there was never a transfer of the mark from Zarco Hotels to Zarco Property Management Inc., that the transfer did not occur until the name change had occurred.
No. It occurred before then, but I'm saying it did not occur in a formal written manner. It was the entire understanding and course of conduct of the parties. And one of the manifestations of it was the fact that the long form application, which led to 342 registration, was filed in the name of Zarco Property Management Inc. in 2003.
But when you say the parties?
But the entities involved.
So basically he's saying that because he controlled both entities.
No, this is we're not asserting that it's as simple as the applicant in the Great Seats case said that because I'm the president and CEO of both entities, therefore whatever I did benefited the entity that was named as the applicant. That's not what we're arguing. But there was direct testimony and uncontradicted from Mr. Zarinam. He is the person. He is the person most knowledgeable and intimately familiar with the facts. If there was contradictory evidence and testimony, that would be one thing. This is different than the cases where there is a ownership dispute between several parties. So, for example,
Are you saying that because he's the only one that testified to it and that there was no specific evidence to rebut it, that the board had to accept his testimony as true?
Well, there are cases that say if it's uncontradicted and it comes from a person with direct knowledge, there's no reason not to believe it.
What if they didn't believe them?
I mean, you cannot just. One cannot just say, I don't believe it because I don't want to believe it. Furthermore,
that's not what they said here, though.
Furthermore, there was corroboration.
I just want to get at this point you're trying to make when you keep suggesting that it was uncontradicted and that means something. The board still has a role in testing whether they believe the veracity of that statement and whether they have to accept it or not, don't they?
Well, a trier of fact can judge credibility, but there has to be reason and logic behind it. Just calling testimony self-serving and conclusory doesn't make it so.
But
especially when it is corroborated with other evidence, other evidence that the entire time he was acting in his capacity on behalf of Chateau Celeste Inc. when he was controlling the nature and use of the mark.
I mean, go ahead.
Prior to 1998, let's say.
Yes.
It's undisputed, I take it, that the mark was owned by Zarco Hotels, correct?
One would have to agree to that, yes, because the other entity, Zarco Property Management Inc., did not exist, and Zarco Hotels Inc. was using the mark.
Right. Now, if in 2003, Mr. Zarinam had applied for the mark, for the registration, in the name of Zarco Hotels. Would that have been a proper application, a proper applicant at that time?
If that had been the arrangement...
Well, they're just... If he walked into the office and said, here's my registration form in the name of Zarco Hotels, would that have been satisfactory to establish the right in Zarco Hotels?
I would say in that situation, under these facts, no, Your Honor, because already the key inquiry is which entity controlled the nature of the and of the quality of the services being rendered. And Mr. Zarinam testified that it was already Zarco Property Management, Inc., which later changed its name to Chateau Celeste, Inc. So at that time, the entity, the key inquiry, Your Honors, is to decide which entity controlled the manner of use of the mark. And if Mr. Zarinam, and corroborated by the fact that the long-form application, the long-form mark starts with Hollywood Hotel and then continues with the Hotel of Hollywood. It makes absolutely no sense to say that the long-form mark was owned by Zarco Hotels, Inc., but the, one was owned by one entity and the other one, Hollywood Hotel, the short version, was owned by another. So prior to the filing of the 2003 application, it was the Zarco Property Management, Inc. that was controlling the use of the mark. So because of that, the long-form application was filed in the name of that entity. And
and that became true when? When did it become, because you agreed that it was Zarco Hotels that owned the mark up until a certain point. And now you say, as of 2003, Zarco Management owned the mark. When did that transfer occur?
I think at or about the time of its formation, because Mr. Zarinam testified that one of the objectives of Zarco Property Management, Inc. was for him, in his capacity as president and CEO, to control all manner of use of the mark at the physical hotel property. So for many years, it was him, as in his official capacity, that was controlling it. Now
these are both board, corporations, right?
What's that?
I said Zarco Hotels and Zarco Property Management were both corporations, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
And corporations have to follow some corporate structure.
Absolutely, Your Honor. But we have to...
alter ego thing going on?
No, Your Honor. I'm not suggesting that. But in this fact scenario, I suggest that the court...
Can I ask you, when Zarco Management was formed, did Zarco Hotel Corporation, was that transferred to Zarco Management too? In other words, were all the assets of Zarco Hotel, once the management company was created, transferred to the management company?
No, Your Honor.
So the hotel entity, corporate entity, stayed separate?
Correct, Your Honor.
Which the hotel entity is what owned the name at some point in time.
Yes.
So what you have to show is that when the management company was created, even though some of the assets associated with the hotel stayed in the hotel corporation, other assets, including the name, transferred.
Correct, Your Honor. And I'm not suggesting we have to forget about formalities.
You have no documentary evidence for that.
There was no written agreement.
When the management company was created, it didn't say, okay, hotel, you still own the hotel property, all the grounds, get the income from this. Management company, here's what you have, including now the trademark.
There was no written agreement, so no formal document.
So you're asking us to infer that a trademark associated with the hotel that still retained a separate corporate entity was nonetheless implicitly transferred without any direct evidence of that implicit transfer beyond your client's testimony?
Nothing in writing, Your Honor, but there is direct testimony from Mr. Zarinam that that took place, and the course of conduct by the parties supports that, corroborates that. And one has to keep in mind his testimony.
He says it took place, but he didn't put a date on it. He didn't say this was my intention all along, and at this particular point in time, I mean, even in response to Judge Bryson, you couldn't point out the point in time. All he just said is, I think about it, and ergo it happens.
No, I mean, one has to keep in mind that this is a close family-owned business, and this court has, on a number of occasions, has said that we have to keep that in mind. Less formality is required when a situation like that exists. He did, I believe, say that when the management entity was formed, it was formed so that he could also, in his official capacity, control the use of the mark. But there is no formal written agreement, nor is one required, Your Honor. And the law is...
He didn't actually say it was formed so he could control use of the mark. What he said is it was formed so that they could operate the hotel property, right?
Yes, and manage it. But he also testified that in his official capacity, on behalf of Chateau Celeste Inc., he was controlling the mark.
Well, couldn't he have also been controlling the mark in his capacity as the head of Zarco Hotels Inc.?
No, he was not controlling it. That's not the testimony. The testimony, he said that I gave permission from Chateau Celeste Inc. to Zarco Hotels to use it. And one has to infer, if there is a permission going from Chateau Celeste to Zarco Hotels, why would Zarco Hotels need such a permission if it was understood to be the owner of the mark already?
Okay, I'm sorry. You're well into your rebuttal time. I sort of missed track because the clock is up there, but we'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Jacobs.
Good afternoon. May it please the court, Hera Jacobs from Ballard Spahr for the appellee Hollywood Casinos LLC. The issue on this appeal is whether the board's holding that appellant was not the owner of the Hollywood Hotel mark at the time the application was filed in March of 2011 is supported by substantial evidence. Substantial evidence is evidence that a reasonable mind might accept as adequate to support a conclusion, and stated another way, it is evidence from which it is possible to draw two inconsistent conclusions.
But do you concede that you can have an implied transfer of a mark?
I'm going to say no. We don't concede that you can have an implied transfer, but that is not relevant in this proceeding because even if you can impliedly transfer a mark, the evidence in this case is very clear that never happened, and I wanted to be specific to point out two statements that appellant's counsel made about what he purported to be evidence in the record that is absolutely not there on this point. Number one, counsel stated during his argument that Mr. Zarinam testified that the purpose of Zarco property management was to control the use of the Hollywood Hotel mark. That testimony is absolutely nowhere in the record. And second, he claimed that that Mr. Zarinam gave direct testimony about the transfer of the Hollywood Hotel mark from Zarco Hotels to Zarco Property Management / Chateau Celeste. Okay. There is no, and I'm going to get to this, but I wanted to make sure I point at the outset, that testimony is not in the record.
Well, what about the fact of the long form mark and the registration of long form mark? Doesn't that in and of itself show an intent to control the mark?
Well, first of all, in terms of it being conclusive evidence, it's not because of this court's decision in Re Cordua, which states that simply because someone has a registration for a different mark, that's, forget conclusive evidence, it's not even evidence that you own a different mark, and here it is a different mark. And the board certainly found, and I think correctly found here, that applicants, that the applicants, that appellants, earlier application and registration for the long form of the mark didn't establish ownership, and it was erroneous, just like this application was erroneous. I mean, in terms of...
Well, it's certainly at least circumstantial evidence of who they intended to be using the mark and protecting the use of the mark.
And Your Honor, even if that was one piece of circumstantial evidence, and I'm going to go through the evidence, there is a wealth of evidence in this matter that fully supports the board's conclusion that the appellant was not the owner of the mark at the time it was filed. There is a wealth of evidence in that regard. First of all, in terms of, I think the evidence can be broken down into two categories. The first category of evidence are the admissions from the appellant's CEO at his discovery deposition. And the second category of evidence is, even assuming you ignore the admissions of the appellant's CEO at his discovery deposition, it is the question of how did the appellant, which did not exist on the date of first use of the Hollywood Hotel mark, how did it become the owner? And starting with the first category, which are the admissions of the appellant's CEO, after the appellant's CEO testified about his relationship to four different real estate holding companies, he was asked, which of those four holding companies controls the nature and quality of the services provided at the Hollywood Hotel property? Answer, Zarco Hotels, Inc. And Chateau Celeste, Inc. is the management company. And then appellant's principal further testified that applicant Chateau Celeste, Inc. uses the Hollywood Hotel mark pursuant to a license from Zarco Hotels. The question was, does Chateau Celeste, Inc. have a license from Zarco Hotels to use trademarks? Answer, the answer was yes. And in addition to the deposition testimony of appellant's CEO, the board also considered the contemporaneous documentary evidence showing that Zarco Hotels was the entity controlling the services rendered at the Hollywood Hotel property, and it was holding itself out to the public as the entity behind Hollywood Hotel. For example, Zarco Hotels held itself out as the owner and operator of the Hollywood Hotel property in newspaper articles and social media, for example, talking about the renovation of the property. Zarco Hotels, not appellant, employs the individuals who work at the hotel. Zarco Hotels hold the relevant permits that allows the services to be offered at Hollywood Hotel. Zarco Hotels is the registrant and operator of the domain names used by the Hollywood Hotel property. And taken together, the admissions of appellant CEO and the documentary evidence, taken together under the substantial evidence standard, was more than sufficient to support the board's finding that appellant was not the owner of the Hollywood Hotel mark at the time the application was filed in March 2011. And then we get to the second important category of evidence that the board relied upon, which was, how did appellant become the owner of the Hollywood Hotel mark? Because as we discussed, appellant didn't exist in 1994, the claim date of first use of the mark. Appellant came into existence in 1998. So appellant claims that it owns a mark that it could only acquire by written or potentially an implied assignment from Zarco Hotels. And as the board explained, well, these circumstances beg the question of how applicant came to own a mark that it seeks to register. There's no dispute. There's no written assignment here. And so appellant argued in its brief, that the evidence demonstrated an implied assignment or an implied agreement. And what appellant more specifically argued in its brief is that it was formed to own and control use of the Hollywood Hotel mark, and that would be sufficient for an implied assignment. But here's the key thing. There is no evidence in the record that Chateau Celeste Inc. was formed for the purpose of owning and controlling the use of the Hollywood Hotel mark. Appellant put in.
Is there any corporate charter in the record or anything where it is a statement of purpose with respect to Chateau Celeste is put in writing?
So, Your Honor, the closest thing that there would be to that is that Chateau Celeste filed documents with the California Secretary of State about itself, which is required. And what it said about itself is, first, when answering what its business was, it said vacant land. When asked to give its address, okay, it said vacant land. It didn't say, right, to, you know, control the Hollywood Hotel trademark or whatever else. It said vacant land. Second, when asked to put its address, didn't put the address of the Hollywood Hotel property. It put the address of the vacant land, being the chateau, where Chateau Celeste was and was being renovated. So that those contemporaneous documents are not at all consistent with saying that the purpose of Chateau Celeste was to own and control the Hollywood Hotel mark. Also, when Mr. Zarinam was asked at his discovery deposition what is Chateau Celeste, he said it's a real estate holding company. He didn't say it was owned and formed and controlled and formed and created for the purpose of owning and controlling the Hollywood Hotel.
But it could be a used car dealership, and he could assign the mark to the used car dealership, right? I mean, there's no limit on who can be assigned the ownership of a trademark, as I understand it.
So, Your Honor, you're saying hypothetically that
he could have assigned it to his daughter-in-law. When you say he,
I mean, I would say that only the owner could, and the owner was Zarco Hotels. So if the hypothetical is that could Zarco Hotels have assigned the trademark to, you know, his daughter, his daughter-in-law, and to, you know, it could. However, okay, those are not the circumstances under which the board has ever found an implied assignment as opposed to a written assignment. And the key thing here is that the argument is that this was an implied assignment, and implied assignments, to the extent they have been recognized, have only been recognized in very limited circumstances.
But if there is a right to an assigned, implied assignment, assume that with us, then why isn't it pretty good evidence that there was an intended and therefore implied assignment to Chateau Celeste, that he applied for the mark in the name of Chateau Celeste?
Well, Your
Honor,
doesn't that
indicate a clear intention on his part that Chateau Celeste be the owner? And if it's implied transfer requires nothing other than the exercise of that intention, why isn't that enough?
Sure. Well, Your Honor, the reason why that's not enough is because the act of merely applying for the trademark, I would say, is equally consistent with someone making a mistake as the argument you're making. And what you then need to do is look at all of the other evidence in the record, right, which is what the board did. The board looked at all of the evidence in the record, and it determined that the evidence did not demonstrate that there was an implied assignment of the Hollywood Hotel mark from Zarco Hotels to Chateau Celeste Inc. I mean, people file trademark applications, and there's literally dozens of cases finding that the wrong person filed the mark, and that happens. And I would say that that's exactly what happened here. So merely filing a trademark application is not conclusive evidence of intent. It's equally consistent with someone making a mistake.
But if you have two closely held corporations and very small and intimately associated with the proprietor of both, then it would seem to me, if you do recognize implied assignments, that would be a situation in which evidence such as an application in the name of one of them would suggest that is the party that the assignor, or the principal at least, believed was and should be deemed the owner of the mark. Wouldn't you agree?
I don't agree, and that's exactly what the Great Seats case says. I mean, in Great Seats, which was is completely analogous to this case, you had one individual who ran two different companies. You had this company, PEI, who was the first company to use the mark, and then you had GSI, who actually filed the application. And what the court found in Great Seats is that Great Seat was that this GS, this second entity who filed the application, was not the owner. And it didn't matter that, you know, these were closely held businesses and it was the same person in charge of both businesses. The question about trademark ownership is who controls the nature and quality of the goods and services that are being offered under the mark. And in Great Seats, it was determined that it was PEI who was exercising that control. And I would say to you here that the record is overwhelming that it was Zarco Hotels the whole way that has been controlling the nature and quality of the goods and services at the Hollywood Hotel property and not Chateau Celeste Inc. The only evidence really that there is of that is Mr. Zarinam saying at his testimony deposition that acting, you know, that having his hat on as Chateau Celeste, that he was licensing, you know, the mark and exercising some type of control. But the board considered that. The board considered that testimony, but the board also found that testimony directly contradicted the testimony he gave at his discovery deposition, and that when he tried to change his testimony from his discovery deposition through a deposition errata sheet and then a sham affidavit, the board in a published decision said very clearly, you can't do that, and we don't, you know, we're not going to credit that testimony. And further, when Mr. Zarinam, I think this is really important, when he was asked what is the relationship between appellant and Zarco Hotels, when he was asked what the relationship was, he said, me. That's what he said. That's not the appellant. That's not the appellant exercising control over the Hollywood hotel mark. Okay, that's not consistent with that. I see that I have very little time left, and I will sum it up by saying that to the extent that appellant is arguing about the different pieces of evidence that it feels support its position. It's very clear from the board's decision that it did consider those pieces of evidence, including the testimony at his testimony deposition, the long form application, and the so-called course of conduct. And the board explained all of those things, and it explained why it did not find them persuasive. And respectfully, this court should defer to the weighing of the evidence and the credibility determinations by the board. And affirm the decision of the board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Your Honors, on rebuttal, I'd just like to make a few quick points. One is the effect of the 342 registration. It is more than 5 years old. It is incontestable under 15 U.S.C. 1115B. That is conclusive evidence of ownership of Chateau Celeste in the Hollywood Hotel, the Hotel of Hollywood Mark. It makes absolutely no sense for the board to say, to actually, it went out of its way to say, no, we don't care, but Zarco Hotels actually owns that mark as well. The board said that, against the conclusive evidence of that registration. And it makes no sense to say Zarco Hotels owns the long form mark, but to say Chateau Celeste owns the long form mark, but Zarco Hotels owns the short form mark. They both start with Hollywood Hotel. Furthermore, counsel said there's no evidence. She said that Chateau Celeste filed something years later, putting the address of the other property. We have something in the record. This was in the record below. It just didn't find its way in the appendix. If I could ask the court to consider this, it's in appendix 1110. This is a document from 1999 filed with the Secretary of State. I can hand this to the clerk if you allow me, and I have a copy for counsel. It has an address of 1160 North Vermont Avenue for Zarco Property Management, Inc. That is the same address as the hotel property. So there was connection with that location. So looking at the totality of the expectations and understandings of the entities involved, the key issue is who controlled the use of the mark on March 30th, 2011, not at some point later on, not some years earlier. It's at that time that the court should focus its attention to. And there is direct testimony of who owned the mark, who controlled the use of it. Contrary to what the board said, Mr. Zarinam said, I acted in my official capacity. The board said, we're just not going to believe that. What this comes down to is basically, in my closing statement, an unfortunate misunderstanding that happened in the discovery deposition. The second part of that question and answer just makes no sense. In the discovery deposition, it was asked, does Chateau Celeste have a license for use of the mark? And the answer was yes. That shows that all of the confusion that was going on. Chateau Celeste was not using the mark. It was Zarco Hotels. So based
way past your time.
All of that misunderstanding led to all of this, and he corrected the record in his trial testimony. And I request this court to reverse the decision below and remand to allow the decision on the likelihood of confusion.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.